Welcome to Torah Nacha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel Perek Chaf Gimel, Chapter 23. This is the third of four parakim describing the destruction of Yerushalayim. Each parak, I think to myself that the psukim can't get any sadder to read. This parak is very disturbing. We'll read about Chorban Yerushalayim in the next parak, so this parak holds a final message to make the people understand using very harsh language. It is a long parak with 49 psukim, so there is more to learn than we can discuss today. The words in this parak are quite different than what we expect from a Navi. Generally, in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, since it is a holy language, we use Lashon Nekiya, clean speech, where we try to avoid speaking in a crass manner. As a benign example, we would say someone is not smart rather than say they are stupid. In this parak, the Navi describes very explicit details about immorality. Given the imminent destruction, the Navi felt that there was no time left to be vague, and he needed to impact the hearts of the Jewish people by being direct about what was happening so they couldn't ignore his words. The content of the parak is reminiscent of Parak Tazayin, chapter 16, which describes an unfaithful wife who is adulterous with many men. This parak is similar, but here, two sisters, Ohala and Ha'oliva, are married to the same man and are both unfaithful to him. While in Parak Tazayin it talked about idolatry, this parak also talks about the harmful impact of the other nations on the cultures of Yisrael and Yehuda. There is a division between the Mefarshim as to what the unfaithfulness represents in this parak. Rashi and others feel that the fact that Yisrael or Yehuda sought political and military support from neighboring countries was being unfaithful to Hashem, and this led to Avodah Zarah as well. The Radak and Mitzvah David narrowed the focus of the Mashal to Avodah Zarah that was incorporated into both kingdoms. The two sisters of the Perek, Ohala and Ho'aliva, are the main subjects of both Sephardic and Ashkenazic Kinos lamentations that are said on Tisha B'Av. There is a kina written by Rabbi Shimon Ibn Gamliel, which we read on Tisha B'Av, where the two sisters have a conversation about the pain of their exile. This parak tells us what led up to that exile. We are first introduced to the two sisters, Ohala, who is the northern kingdom, and Ho'aliva, who is the southern kingdom, when they are in Mitzrayim and are having simpler romances. Morality increases as Ohala, the northern kingdom, is unfaithful with Ashur and Mitzrayim and is then punished as a result. This is followed by the description of the adultery of Ho'aliva, the southern kingdom, with both Ashur, Bavel, and Mitzrayim, and its future punishment. In the final section, we read of abominations done in the Beis HaMikdash and the resulting punishment. Let's look at the parak in more detail. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Shtaim nashim benos em achas hayu. Once there were two women, daughters of one mother. The psukim continue that both were unfaithful in their youth while living in Egypt, though it is a lesser degree of intimacy than is mentioned later with the other nations. There is Ohala Hagdola, Ohala the older sister, who is Shomron. She is called older as Shomron was more populated than the other sister, Ohaliva, who is Yerushalayim. The Malbim tells us that the name Ohala means her tent. She set up her residence separate from Hashem. The Mesuzah David adds that her tents were never devoted to Hashem as Yerubim built temples to prevent his subjects from worshipping in the Beis HaMikdash. The name of the younger sister, Ohaliva, means my tent is with her. It was in Yehuda's portion that Hashem had his home, the Beis HaMikdash. At first, both sisters were partners with Hashem, but when they had sons and daughters, they separated into two kingdoms, as referenced by their capitals, Shomron and Yerushalayim. In Psukim He through Yod, 5 through 10, the Psukim discuss the history of Ohala Shomron. She was the first to be promiscuous and lusted for multiple lovers, most prominently the neighboring nation she most related to, Ashur. She was particularly attracted to the wealth, physique, strength, and presentation of the men of their noble class. Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Vatitain Taznuseha Alehem, and she bestowed her promiscuity upon them. So attracted was she to them that she did whatever she could to seduce them, and as a result became defiled in all the filth. Rashi tells us that Shomron joined all the ceremonies to learn how to serve idols and thus became defiled. Even with her primary infidelity with Ashur, Pasuk Ches, verse 8 continues, Ohala reestablishes her relationship with Egypt that began as a young girl. This is either a reference to the continued service of Egyptian idols, or to the political dealings of Hoshea ben Ela, who allied himself with Egypt after falling out with Ashur. As a result of this adultery, Ohala, Shomron, was delivered to Ashur. This lover will exile her as she placed her faith in him and left Hashem. Pasuk Yod verse 10 tells us, Hema gilu arvasa, they exposed her nakedness. The Mitzvah David explains that adulteresses would be punished by stripping them and parading them about. This was how the Assyrians would send their captives into exile as well. The other women, in particular Ohaliva, were meant to learn from this degradation not to act likewise. In Psukim Yud Aleph through Chaf Aleph, 11 through 21, Ohaliva does not learn from her sister. Rather, she expands on what her sister did. V'tashchez agvasa mimena v'es taznuseha miznune achosa. Yet she was more corrupt in her lust than she, and in her promiscuity more than her sister in her promiscuities. Ohaliva was also seduced by Asher's wealth, sophistication, and strength. Rashi explains that instead of relying on Hashem, Achaz from Yehuda sought to make alliances with Asher as well. Tragically, Ohaliva also intensified her promiscuity in ways that Ohala never did. She saw pictures of Babylonian men engraved on the wall and lusted after them, even though she never met them in her life. The men were portrayed in handsome fashions that she appreciated, and this is what increased her interest. Because she found these superficial images so attractive, she reached out to pursue a relationship. Pasuk Tazayin, verses 16. Fatishlach malachim alayhem kasima. She sent messengers to them, to Chaldea, to make a treaty with them. Rashi tells us that this happened in the time of Chizkiyahu, when Bavel sent messengers to wish him well when he was very sick. He was so impressed with the messengers and the message and the good thoughts that he invited them to dine with him and showed them his treasures. Hashem was harsh with Chizkiyahu as he pursued contact with them. Unfortunately, Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Vayavo'u eleha v'nei Bavel l'mishkav dodim, and the Babylonians came to her into the bed of love. Vayetamu osa besaznu sam, and they defiled her with their lust. What started off as a loving relationship became an unhealthy and degraded experience. Though initially the overtures between Bavel and Yehuda were positive, it soon became an unwanted relationship. Yoyakim and Tzidkiyahu tried to rebel, which led to war. The Psukim continued that relationship that began with the men of Bavel caused Ohaliva to debase herself even more. Pasuk Yudches, verse 18. Vatigal taznuseha, vatigal es ervasa. So she uncovered her promiscuity and uncovered her nakedness. Initially, the Malbim says Yehuda served idols privately until they lost all compulsion to hide their behavior. They went public with their idol worship, which led them to sin publicly in other areas without shame. This behavior pushed Hashem away, as it had done with Ohala, with Yisrael. Yehuda would need to be exiled as well. Rather than change, Pasuk Yates, verse 19 tells us, Vatarbeh es taznuseha, yet she multiplied her harlotries. Ohaliva started to remember her days of youth in Egypt and desired that too. The Malbim says that after the relationship with Bavel soured, the kings of Yehuda tried to make alliances with Egypt. The Psukim continue with very coarse language that people who hear Yechezkel's message would be shocked by the vulgarity of the sins. There was extreme infidelity between Egypt and Ohaliva, where Ohaliva allowed herself to be debased. She also looked back with fondness on her lewdness during the time she lived in Egypt. The next psukim detail what the punishment for this extreme immorality will be. First, Bavel comes not as conquerors, but as former allies. They were seeking to restore their positive relationship. Pasuk Chafez, verse 22. Hinini meir es mahavayich alayich. Behold, I will raise up your lovers against you. However, because Tzidkiyahu went and rebelled against them, es asher nak'a nafshech mehem, from whom your soul is alienated, Nebuchadnezzar came to attack rather than to be placated. Bavel and other former allies came with all their military might. They would be the vehicle to exact the justice that was needed for all the sinful behaviors. One of these things these men would do to Ohaliva was, Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25, Apech l'aznayach yasiru, they shall take away your nose and your ears. One way to avenge an unfaithful spouse is by taking away her beauty. The Mitzvah David explains that for Yehuda, her beauty is her kohanim and kings, which Bavel removes. In addition, the Psukim continue, the elders would be killed, their children taken as slaves, and their homes burned and destroyed. They would be stripped of their clothes and jewels as well. As we said before, an unfaithful woman would have been forced to stand without appropriate clothes to embarrass her. The Jewish people will lose their most precious clothes and jewels, which are the clothes of the Kohanim and the vessels in the Beis HaMikdash. As was said before in this Sefer, this harsh, demeaning treatment will have some positive benefit. Pasuk Chav Zayin, verse 27, Vishvati Zimaseich Mimech, thus I will make your lewdness stop from you. The Radak tells us, Ki miyom shagalu lo avdu akum. From the day they were exiled, they no longer served Avodah Zarah. After telling us about these events that are about to happen, the Navi summarizes his message and then makes one small change to what he has said. Pasuk Chav Ches, verse 28. Hinini nosnach biyad asher saneh. Behold, I will deliver you into the hand of whom you hate. Before, the Pasuk had told us that Bavel would come as lovers. Here, they are called the enemy. Once the battle intensifies, then Bavel is changed into enemies, which heightens the punishment. With hatred, the Babylonians will take away their dignity and all that is precious to them. Hashem reminds us, starting in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31, through Pasuk Lamed Hey, verse 35, that what is happening is because Ohaliva did not learn from her sister. There is a mashal that Ohaliva has drunk from the deep cup of wine that belonged to her sister. This opens her to mockery from all sides as she falls into a drunken stupor. She is, as it says in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, verse 33, She karon viagon timalei, kos shama ushmama, kos achosech shamron. You are filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with a cup of astonishment and appallment, with the cup of your sister Shomron. Ohaliva is not a happy drunk. Instead, she becomes an angry drunk, depressed, confused, and morose. She breaks the goblet that holds the wine, trying to extract one more drop, and through her drunkenness, she will harm herself. The Radak says that just as this woman, in her confusion, tries to harm herself, the Jewish people in Galus abandoned the Torah which nurtures them, which caused them greater problems while they were in Galus. This section finishes by telling the people that the reason they have ended up in this rejected, degraded, drunken stupor is because they forgot about Hashem. Just as the Jewish people try to forget Hashem, it will be as if Hashem has forgotten them. Finishing with this mashal of Allah and Aliva's drunkenness, the Navi now turns to another idea. Pasuk Lamed Vav through the end of the parak has its own structure and themes. In the next parak, we will learn about the actual siege of Yerushalayim. This parak, now, summarizes many of the ideas we have heard before. First, it talks about the outrages in the Mikdash. Next, it talks about the immorality with those who are far away. And finally, it describes the judgment of the punishment. The words in this section are drawn from elsewhere in Yecheskel, particularly Prakim Gimel, Yod Ches, and Lamed Gimel, chapters 3, 18, and 33. The new section begins in Pasuk Lamed Vav, verse 36, with words we have seen in Perek Chof, chapter 20. Ben Adam, Hasishpot, Son of Man, will you judge? Here, instead of judging the history of the Jews for the elders of Israel who came to talk to him, he is judging the behavior of the two kingdoms. The Pasuk tells us that they did three cardinal sins. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, verse 37, Kini Efu, they have committed adultery. Vidam Bidehem, blood is on their hands. This is the second cardinal sin, which is murder. Ve'eskilulehem ni Efu, and with their idols they have committed adultery. The Pesukim add that they also sacrificed their children to Molech on the same day they brought Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Even worse, they desecrated the Shabbos as that was the day they sacrificed their sons. To compound that sin, they worshipped idols or the Molech on the temple grounds. This was done to profane Hashem and desecrate his home. The nation also acted with intense unfaithfulness. They've sent for messengers from faraway lands and groomed themselves to be attractive. Rashi tells us that they invited these foreigners to see them profaning the Mikdash. Pasuk Mem Aleph, verse 41, V'yashaft almita kfruda u'shulchan aruch lefaneha. You sat on a stately bed with a table prepared before it. U'kitarti v'shamni sam aleha. Where you put on it my incense and my oil. This woman arranged herself on a bed with an inviting meal set with fragrances and oils that were a gift from Hashem so that she could host these foreign men. According to Mitzvah's David, this mashal represents that the nation sent for these foreigners so that they could learn from their culture, and Yehuda and Yisrael showed them great affection and bestowed upon them the gifts that Hashem had given for their service of him. Indeed, these foreigners came, as Rashi interprets it, to Yerushalayim, where Yehuda embraced the foreign cultures that were coming. The Navi says to Ohalah and Ohaliva that Hashem expected them to be worn out from their unfaithfulness, aged prematurely by their excessive promiscuity. Pasuk Mem Dalet, verse 44, Vayavo Eleha Kavo El Isha Zona, for everyone went to her as men go to a prostitute. Although there were many different men, Allah and Oliva gave each man full attention and continued to sin. Pasuk Memhei, verse 45, tells the result from this behavior. Vanashim Sadikim Hema Yishpitu Osheim. But righteous men, they will judge them. These righteous men are, according to Mitzvahs David, the officers of Bavel, who are righteous in comparison to Olah and Oliva. They are to exact justice for the adultery and the murder of their sons during idol worship. Hashem tells the judges to gather and judge these people, as they are worthy of the four capital punishments of Beis Din, which should be carried out by the nations gathering against them. The goal of these punishments are that there will be an end to sin. The parak concludes, Pasuk Mem Tes, verse 49, V'nasnu zimaschena aleichen, v'chata'e giluleichen tisena, v'yadatem ki ani Hashem Elokim. And you will place your lewdness upon you, and the sins of your filth you should bear, and you will know that I am Hashem. This parak was one of the harshest in the whole Sefer, as it described grievous sins. The goal of this parak was to shock the listener, so that no one could be in denial about the severity of the sin, and so that they would be ready for the harsh punishment coming in the next parak, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Galus. This parak, with its allusions to other prakim, is the end of the first half of the Sefer that ends in destruction. The tragedy of the destruction is a result of the history that has unfolded over a long period. In this parak, we heard about sins of unfaithfulness between God and his nation that included idolatry, a lack of faith, and sins between man and his neighbor. The description in this parak that destroys the pretext of righteousness and connection with Hashem will allow us to rebuild after the destruction that is coming in the next parak. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Zvi, Yosef.